Senator Dan Coats, thanks very much for joining us today.
Sean, thank you.
This week, the Senate passed a resolution co-authored by you and Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois condemning Russia's actions in the Crimean Peninsula. Can you tell us why you wanted to introduce that resolution and a few of the things you're calling for?
Well, I felt we needed to get an immediate response back to Vladimir Putin and the Russians, that this is not something that we will tolerate. And I also thought it ought to be one voice. It shouldn't be a divided Congress. Dick Durbin's the number two Democrat in the Senate. I have trouble with Harry Reid, so I went to Dick. But he's highly respected. So we passed this resolution, which have 15 initiatives in there that isolates Russia, punishes Russia for what it's done. It's the first of several steps, I think, that need to be taken. It passed the Senate unanimously, and so we were the first ones to get our voice out in a united way. And hopefully much more will come, because this is just something we can't tolerate.
Can you bring this issue home for our listeners a bit? I mean, why should Hoosiers be concerned about the Ukraine, about Russia's actions in the Crimean Peninsula?
Well, that's a very good question, and Hoosiers have every right to ask that question. My response to that is the stability of Europe needs to be ensured, because over history here, and just in this last century, we have had two major world wars and a number of conflicts, including in the Balkans, that have cost Americans lives, that have put us, our country, in dire jeopardy. These little things can turn into big things. And if you don't nip it in the bud, like what we should have done way back in the early 30s when Hitler was making all these similar types of moves, it turned into something much bigger. Also, it goes to America's leadership, both economic and political. And we need to step up as a nation, basically. And while this doesn't lend itself to a military response, given the situation, it does lend itself to America leading the way with our European allies and the world community of nations, saying we cannot let Russia get away with this without paying a very, very steep price.
You mentioned nipping this in the bud, and you referenced the 1930s. Are you suggesting that if President Vladimir Putin, say, gets his way in this scenario, that there may be more to come from his administration?
Well, we saw the Russians taking over part of Georgia, and now we see the situation where they are basically spinning this line that, oh, well, these people really want to be with us. These nations that have gained their sovereignty and gotten out from under the Soviet Union, we need to let them know that we stand on their side, and we need to let the Russians know you just simply cannot try to reunite the Soviet Union through a power grab. I think it's really critical that we send this message to those around the world. So whether it's Libya, whether it's Iran, whether it's Syria, there are aggressors out there that are taking advantage of what they see as a weak America, a president that leads from behind. And now this is the president's opportunity to step up and do the right thing and show that America can assert itself together with our allied nations to keep this kind of thing from getting out of hand.
You mentioned a moment ago that this resolution introduced by yourself and Senator Durbin was the first of several steps that need to be taken. What are we looking at next? I know that the EU leaders could vote on economic sanctions on Russia as early as Monday. Are we looking at a similar scenario, more sanctions on Russia? Some folks have even suggested harsh sanctions like we've seen on Iran.
We do have to ratchet up those sanctions, and that's part two of this. We took the first steps here, and there's 15 initiatives there, but the economic sanctions, the ones that really hit Russia in the pocketbook, is where we need to go next. We also need to re-energize NATO to show Russia that we do have combined military strength to prevent this from happening again in other areas. We need to reassure our allies in Eastern Europe that we're going to stand by them, and we need to let the Russians know that they can't use this excuse here that they got away with this one to take further action. And economic sanctions are the one sanctions that really bite. Russia is not in good financial shape, and they need to be able to sell goods to Europe, and they also need to continue selling their oil and gas to prop up their economy. We can start to wean Europe off of dependence on oil and gas, given the new supplies that we've had, along with other nations. And we can also basically take economic measures that really hit home with them, and I'm hoping that's what the European Union will do, and I'm hoping we will stand together as one voice in supporting that effort.
Beyond those possible economic sanctions you just mentioned, it also looks like your resolution is calling for a kind of a cultural sanction to be placed on Russia. I'm referring to the section about moving World Cup qualifying matches out of the country. Why include provisions like that in this resolution?
You know, initially I thought, should we put that in there? Will that have much effect? But coming off the Olympics and Russia trying to portray itself as, you know, oh, hey, we're the new Russia. We're part of the world's community of nations. Look how we're graciously hosting this Olympics and so forth. And by the way, folks, the World Cup's coming here, and everybody's starting to think this is the new Russia. All of a sudden, this thing has just taken off around the world. What we've learned is that FIFA, the governing body for world soccer, has in its bylaws, nations like Russia can't interfere with their sovereignty of other nations without being dropped out of FIFA. So, interestingly enough, from a cultural standpoint and a social standpoint, it has really caught fire, and I wouldn't have guessed it, but whatever we need to do to impose some penalties on Russia, that's what we're trying to do.
Final question here. If sanctions fail and President Putin continues to have a presence in Crimea and the Ukraine, would you support a U.S. or a coalition military action in the region should that time come?
I think the operative question here is, what will they do next? We need to reassure Ukraine and the government and people there that we will not tolerate that. And I think we also need to send a strong signal to Russia that NATO is strong and is prepared to do what is necessary to prevent this from happening again. It's too early to say what kind of military use might be needed at this particular point in time. We need to use these economic sanctions and hurt Russia where it hurts the most. That is in their pocketbook, and we can do that.
U.S. Senator Dan Coats of Indiana, thank you very much for your time today.
Sean, my pleasure. Thank you.